Jesus, we come to you, the one who indeed can break every chain. And you know the chains of fear. You know the chains of deception. You know the chains of addiction and of depression. You know the chains of lust, and you know the chains of greed. You know the chains of apathy. You know what holds us back from experiencing the fullness of you, and we come this morning to you, the one who has the power to change us. And we just invite you to come in your spirit. Meet us right here, right now. To change our hearts, to renew our minds, and to change the way we live out this life, that we might indeed live by the very power of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I'm asking that you would come and you would teach this morning through me, that we might walk fully, joyfully, consistently, in victory. Thank you for the privilege. You're an awesome God. Before we ever see what you're going to do this morning, we praise you because your word is living and active and powerful. Reveal it so again today. And convince us afresh of your gospel. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus was walking from Samaria up towards Galilee, and he came through a village. As he came into a village, 10 lepers came to the other side of the street. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." You understand what it'd be like to be a leper in their day? Totally isolated. Not allowed to circulate. Everywhere you went, you had to say, "I'm unclean." Would you please have mercy on us? And Jesus looks at him and says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, when a leper became leprous, a priest would determine that they were indeed leprous and would indeed pronounce them unclean, and until they became clean, they were then basically banned from society. But when the cleansing had happened, they were then to go and show themselves to the priest, and the priest would then check them out again and say, "Oh, you are clean," or "No, you're not." So here they are in their uncleanness, and they come to Jesus and say, "Would you please help us?" And he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And at that moment, they had a choice to make. Would they do what Jesus told them to do? As far as they could see, as far as they understood, and you know how you kind of understand your own body? Nothing has changed. Jesus told them to do something. And it says, they turned to go. And it says, as they went, they were healed. And you know the rest of the story. Many of you, one of them came back and said, "Thank you." But friends, victory is a choice. And as we look at this series we're stepping into, the introduction to this concept of being prepared to battle is to understand victory is a choice. It's something that must be made or a victory won't be had. But I want you to hear something over the next 8 weeks, and you may get tired of hearing this. I hope you don't get tired. I hope you get more encouraged, but you can win the battle you're in. And we're all in one. Oh, there's a lot of different ones as I look across the faces today. There's a lot of different battles. And as I talk about some of this stuff, and some of you know that I know your battles, and you're wondering, hey, is he preaching at me? I hope so. You know what I mean? You're saying, if it's not relevant to you, then why would you come to hear from him? So this isn't about me talking, but I believe he does have a message for you that you can win the battle that you're in. And yet, what is going on? What you and I do with what God tells us to do determines the victory that we experience. And that's hard sometimes for us to accept. Because we've just finished the book of Ephesians where we found out that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every single one. And yet, we can still live in defeat in areas of our life. Why is that? Well, that's what we're going to look at for the next 8 weeks. How do you walk into this victory? But oftentimes I find that people talk about their problems and their struggles and their battles with God, and they ask God for help. I really find very few people, at least who claim to be believers, who when they're in the battle and when they're having the struggle, don't at least talk to God about that. You do that. Is that right? And by the way, if you don't do that, don't come talking to me. Because I can't help you if you're not talking to him. You know, if you need help how to talk to him, I love talking about that. Okay? But understand this, that he's the only one that can bring us a victory. But we talk to him, but we don't always follow the directions that he gives. Victory is a choice to do what he tells us to do. And so I want to enter into this idea. So turn with me, if you would, back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be starting with verse 10. And what we're going to do as we walk through this series is that we are going to look at each piece of this armor. And so we will look beyond Ephesians chapter 6, but Ephesians chapter 6 will be our primary point of reference as we start into this. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. Having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." God has provided all I need to win the war I'm in. God has provided all I need to win the war I'm in. If I'm not winning, there's something I'm not appropriating. I want you to understand that right now. If you're not winning, that doesn't mean if you're not happy. That doesn't mean if it's not easy. And I don't like getting up here talking about strength, feeling weak. That just is a frustrating experience. But I know I have strength in Christ regardless of what my body happens to be providing me at the moment. Some of you prime timers know what I'm talking about. I'm not there yet. I refuse. No. But the question is this. We just read this passage. So there's a choice. See, anytime you hear the word, there's a choice. Do you understand that? The book is not given just to inform you. It's given to direct you. And so when I hear the word, will I believe and obey? Or will I go my own way? There's a continual choice. And so we like to be the boss of our own life, don't we? If only you could be. Because honestly, the way the Bible describes it, there's only two people you can serve. You can serve the Lord, or you will serve the evil one. There's a choice. It might seem like it's just you, but if you're serving you, guess what? That's exactly the evil one's plan, or we will see in a second. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And so he gives what? He gives a command. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. So if there's a command, guess what? There's a choice. Do you see that? See, what will I do with God's directive? So every time you read the Bible, if I can just encourage you, every time you read, see, what will I do with what God says? That's what I journal in each day that I do this. Is saying, you've spoken. Now what's my response? You know, I know some of you live in this newer generation, and when you text, you expect this instant response, and some people don't do that. And you're like, what's wrong with you? How come you haven't responded? How about you and God? God's texted you. Some of you will catch up eventually. God has texted you. All right? Are you responding to what he has commanded? And so I find when we read this, he says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. And what people do is we ask for God's strength. He commands you to be strong. And we say, Lord, make me strong. If God's given you a command, he expects a response. And so my first thought here today, or the overall principle, is this. Is I have a responsibility and an opportunity to experience a spiritual victory. I have a responsibility. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. That's my responsibility, and there is therein that opportunity, all right, that I would experience the strength that God provides, that I would experience the victory, that I'd be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So he's made something possible, and when we have this and you hear, response is about what? Please, get this. It's about relationship. This isn't about rules. I'm not standing up here to guilt you one more time. It's about inviting you into a relationship with God where you begin to experience the victory that he wants you to be experiencing on a daily basis in each relationship, in each responsibility, each aspect of stewardship of your life. All right? So the responsibility God has given me is a direction. There's a command given to obey. That, once again, is what? My choice. Have you ever noticed that there are no commands to the Holy Spirit in the Bible? The Holy Spirit is perfectly willing to do God's will. We're the people that are given the directive to say, would you do this? And that releases the Spirit in our lives. So the responsibility has been given. The opportunity is that God reveals the potential of his power to be displayed in your life. To believe it. To believe it. And oftentimes what I find people will say, you know, I've been trying. James, you know I've been trying. I want to encourage you. If you're trying, you're failing. Isn't that encouraging? If you're trying, you're failing. Because God is not calling you to try. God is calling you to trust. There is a huge difference. I want you to think that through in your mind. But this is a difference between trusting versus trying. Because in the call of God, he's inviting you into relationship with his power, which means I'm going to trust his provision, which means I'm going to trust his directions. That's not I'm going to try. You got up this morning. Somehow you arrived in church. Was this an accident? Did you get up and say, I'm going? Or did you get up and say, I'm going to try and go? You know, I find if you're doing this on Saturday night, you know, I might try and go to church tomorrow. If you're trying, you're not going to be here by half the time. It just doesn't work that way. But Jesus Christ, when he showed up on earth, he began to give directions. And what did he say? Would you please try and follow me? I don't think so. He said, follow me. He didn't say, try to do this. He said, do this. Now, when you find the weakness of your own soul, when you find the weakness of your own flesh, then it should cause you to step into that deeper relationship, to cause you to seek something more in the Father, not give up in the fact that, hey, I blew it, but say, where is it that you want to strengthen me? How can I step into this? Because some wise person once said, to do or not to do is not the question. Right? To try is not. There is no try. There's believe. You know the verse, Philippians 4:13. Familiar with that little simple statement? Read it out loud with me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. True? Really? Really? That's a choice. Will I do all things by his strength? Because I can do a whole bunch of stuff without asking God for help. True? I can mess it up really quick. I can get out of the will of God before I've got out of bed. All right? There's choices that we're making, but if I'm going to do it in his strength, he says, be strong. There's a directive to rely on the Lord for strength, power, and direction. Rather than trying to do my best, I'm going to trust his will and obey it. I'm going to walk it out. Why are we weak? Oftentimes it's because we're trying. We're trying. We're not trusting it. I mean, it may be arrogance, it may be ignorance, or it may be disobedience, but it really comes back to me not believing what he's been telling me. Strength is received when God is believed. Does that make any sense? When I believe him, I find the strength to do what he's called me to do. Because you can be in any situation and say, and what will happen? Here's what will happen. Now, you see if this will make any sense. And I'll try and find a perfect couple of illustrations for it. You'll be in a situation and you say, I don't think I can do that. The question is, did God tell you to? Because if God told you to, God gives you the strength to do what he tells you to do. True? So I need to do what he's told me to do, but I can take it a different direction. I can walk it back and say, I just don't think I can do that. And pretty soon what? I've talked myself over the cliff into disobedience. 1989. Not my favorite year. 4th of July, my brother was in an accident and stayed with us for about 24, 48 hours and passed. And at 32, And my family. Don't you love family? My family said, would you please do the service? I said, yes, I will. But there's a whole conversation. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's going on. Can I even do this? Will I be able to do this? Will I? If you do what God tells you to do, God gives you the strength to do it. But I have to believe. The strength comes by believing. Very interesting. I was in a dark spot in pastoral ministry in Carson City, Nevada at the time. I still remember the night before I'd met with a whole bunch of his friends. I was trying to tell them, share a little bit of the gospel, but trying to get some of what did they know about him? What were some of his business practices and stuff? He's an architect in San Francisco. And as I was getting ready to leave, one of them came up to me and says, I really appreciate you doing this. And I says, man, I just don't know that I can. And it was very interesting. I don't believe the person was even a Christian. And they just said, I know that you will. And I heard from God right at that moment. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Something you just hear that word and you just know that wasn't that person talking. And God gave me the strength. Doesn't mean we didn't cry a lot during the service. But He gives you the strength. He gives you the strength. But you do what he calls you to do. And instead, sometimes I think we're kind of like the child who's climbed up a tree and they're sitting there on the branch hanging on, and Dad comes over and says, hey, you want to come down? Yeah, Dad, catch me. Okay. Dad sticks up his arms. Dads always do this. Mom will say, you need to find a way to get down on your own. Okay. That's just the way it is oftentimes. But Dad would say, hey, just what? Jump. And what we will say oftentimes when God says jump is, catch me, catch me, catch me. Catch me. We're still praying. Catch me. He said, jump. Are you with me yet? There's that spot where God says, I've given you something to do. I've told you I will do it. Now you do what I've told you to do, and I will what? Meet you there. His arms are open wide to meet you there as you step into obedience. But you will feel scared. Yeah. That's the way it works. That's how faith gets developed in you. There's a responsibility to choose. So I receive strength by putting on God's armor, by saying, yes, I will do what God has called me to do. All right? So what is God telling me to do? There is a truth that I need to be trusting in any and every situation of my life. And what I encourage you to do in that spot is to figure out, what is it? I don't get it. I don't see it. If you don't understand what the truth is about the situation, first of all, you ask God, then will you give me the wisdom, the insight to understand it? And then you can also ask for counsel. You can come to somebody else and say, hey, what does God say about this? Because I have never found a question that the book does not address. Never have. And I have got some pretty weird things brought to me. Some pretty awful things that people are going through. And yet God has a plan and has a practice to step into. So he says, why? Because what did he tell us we're up against? Look at this. He says, I want you to put on the full armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. God has a will for you. He says, I want you to be able to what? To stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Yeah, you be strong in me, you will be able. So here's another point. I have a responsibility to fulfill a divine possibility of standing firm in the battle. It is no guarantee that you will, but God makes it possible that you can. See, what we want is the guarantee. What God wants is the obedience. He says, I've already given you the guarantee that I'm going to be there. What I need to do is step forward into it. When you get knocked down, do you get up? I love athletic competition. I think a lot of you know that. And you see somebody in a situation, do they have the wherewithal to keep going? Last Saturday, some of you may have watched or noticed UCLA playing Texas A&M. 41-10 at halftime. I'm not interested in that kind of a game. But UCLA won the game because they made choices that brought a victory. They got up and did what they could do. And that's what God calls it. It may not look like you're in a situation, but will you believe that God's going to be there? Because the devil's here to lie the socks off of you, all right? He comes to what? To deceive. Adam and Eve have been given the complete, total provision of God. And Satan deceives them into stepping out of the will and provision of God to try and get a little more. Is that not sick? And so he comes to what? He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Are you noticing that pattern in your life? Are you in that kind of a battle? Are you seeing things that, then what is it that God's asking you to believe him for? Because he will give you the ability to defeat that deception. He says, put on the full armor of God. Interesting. We're going to talk about each piece of the armor. He says, put on the full armor of God, not the partial armor, not do some of my will, not understand part of my truth, but the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm. But he says, put it on. Don't mean to bother you this morning, but God will not dress you. But he has bought you the clothes. That's what I find. I'm Christian saying, hey, would you just please, we want God to do it all. It's kind of like a parent coming to their child and saying, hey, let's clean up this room. And he said, okay, would you help me? Well, sure, I'll help you. Okay, well, why don't you just do it? How does that go with you, a parent? You ain't buying into that, do you? All right, so don't do that to God. God says, hey, let's do this. Say, okay. I respond to him. I trust him. God does not promise you will stand. He promises if you stand in his armor, you'll be able to stand. I think we read parts of Scripture sometimes and we just drop things. You know, it's kind of, I can do all things. There's a lot of people popping that message off nowadays. It's through Christ who strengthens me. That's a pretty significant part of the statement. It's not positive mental attitude. It's a positive trust in the provision of God. Listen, he says, stand firm. God makes provision for you to be able to stand firm. It's an ability that provides you what? A possibility. Do you see that? But there's a choice to be made here that I must make, and it's to stand firm. So there's a difference between standing and sitting. Some of you prime timers might remember a song called Standing on the Promises, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. What I find is a lot of people are sitting on the premises. I showed up at church. How come God hasn't blessed me? I read my Bible. I said my prayers. The issue is, are you obeying the conditions of the promises that God has given? Because have you noticed that they all come with a relational invitation to respond to him? Listen, there's a difference between standing versus sitting, okay? So here's the question. What's your response to the battle that you're in? See, when I believe what God declares about me, about himself, about the enemy, about my circumstances, when I believe what is true, we're going to see next week, that's an awesome belt, the belt of truth. When I believe what is true, I can and will stand. It happens. See, but we have to take a choice to stand firm. The idea here is it's almost as though your commander in chief is saying something. Say, battle stations! And some of you understand that call, and some of you may not. But we are in a constant spiritual war. It's not an occasional struggle. There is a continual battle going on in your heart, in your mind, to follow after God. And so you can be alert and aware that there's an enemy out there, or you can be ignorant and oblivious. Do you know what I'm talking about? There is a spiritual war going on. Peter was challenged by Jesus Christ about a battle, was he not? He says, Satan is after you, and he's going to sift you. He said, you need to start praying. You need to do that. Jesus gives him the directions that he could stand in victory. And Peter takes a snooze on God. Haven't you done that? God says, hey, I want you to do this. And we find ourselves sleeping through it. That's oblivious. That's sleeping. Satan will do what he can to distract you, to discourage you, or to destroy you if you're not alert. So it's interesting when Peter comes to being given the glory of God to write a letter. In fact, he writes two. To write a letter, what does he say to people? Be on the alert, your adversary prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I'm sure it was just a word picture. It had nothing to do with anything he'd experienced. No. Peter knew what it was like to become dinner for the devil. That's what happened. He got ate. He says, don't do what I do. He says, but resist him firm in your faith. Knowing the same experience and suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He says, you stand up, you be alert to this. Alert is important, isn't it? If you're aware of danger, you choose to be alert. I walked back and forth to work as much as I can. Didn't get as much in this last week because I couldn't see that the church was here until I drove and got closer. I thought somebody had moved it with the smoke. But anyway, so I cross four lanes of traffic, which include four turning lanes. So at any given time when I come to the corner, there's six possible directions that people can be going, and I'm going to go between them. I need to be alert, or I will be smooshed like a bug. And you understand that when I talk about a freeway. Friends, do you understand you're on a freeway? Do you understand that you are in a battle and there was somebody wanting to run you down? You better be alert. Because he's after you. He's after you. And so the exhortation we have is that we would stand firm into this. Listen. How does he destroy us? Well, sometimes it's through temptation. Just think about here this morning. You're here this morning. Some of you, this was not an easy choice. Why is it so hard to gather as the church? Notice I didn't say go to church. You are the church. We gather as the church in a building our culture calls the church. You're the church. It's not the building. So why is it so hard to gather as a church? Because you already know that if you come, God meets you. True story? But man, there's a battle, isn't there? What if somebody knew if he could keep you out of church, he could take you down eventually? What if you knew that you weren't getting the food that you needed to get, that you weren't connecting with the believers who were going to give you an encouraging word, and you would drift away from the priorities you once had in your life? Looks like a pretty good idea to me if you're the enemy. So we have to make choices to walk with God, all right? So I'm able to stand firm against the devil's deception if I'm standing in God's armor, if I'm wearing God's armor. Listen. Nothing keeps me from food. I kind of noticed that some of you have made that same commitment. If that's true physically, why isn't that true spiritually? Has somebody deceived you? I don't really need to read my Bible. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. We're not coming here to be a Christian. You're coming here because you are one, because you want to walk with God. What's the deceptions that flow through your head about a simple statement like, be a part of the family and serve where he has put you? There's this thing that God wants to do. He has put you here to win a victory in the kingdom. And there's a direction. So he says there in verse 13, therefore, take up the full armor of God so you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. He says, take up, having done everything. Do you hear again? Choices. Isn't that right? Choices. My obedient response to God enables me to experience victory. If I don't do what I'm told to do, I won't get the victory. When I was in high school, I loved to play football. I just didn't play very well. It was embarrassing. I wanted to play well. My brother was amazing. Okay, he was fast and smart. Run back kickoffs, run back punts. Amazing guy, get interceptions, run them back for touchdowns. I couldn't stay focused. If you don't stay focused, you won't win the battle. There has to be a response. And I can remember having a coach. Coach, how come you don't put me in? Because he says, because you don't do what I tell you to do. Duh. I appreciate honesty. I don't know about you. Some people don't want to be told. You know, he might be a snowflake. You don't want to be told the truth. But the issue is, God's telling you the truth. He says, I want you to what? To take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything so that you can stand firm. Which, by the way, if you read that in reverse, means if you don't take up the full armor of God, you will not be able to resist, and you won't do what you need to do to stand, and you will fall. And it's happening all over the place. We have a country that claims to be Christian, but Christ isn't being followed. Friends, we need to take this up. The emphasis, the essential part of victory is that you would do what he's calling you to do. So when we go through these pieces, I know I'm not even on to the armor yet, but that you would do what God has called you to do, because that's the way you win. Resist. Be able to resist. Peter talked about that. James also talked about that. In James chapter 4, verse 7, we find this verse. It's an interesting verse. Read it with me. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of you have heard the resist the devil part before? Yeah, it's pretty clear. You're an offensive lineman. Somebody's coming for your quarterback, you resist, you push back, you do whatever you need, you stop that enemy. What about the first part? You will never resist the devil if you don't first submit to God. Obedience precedes resistance. I find a lot of people saying, I don't understand, how come I'm not winning the battle? Well, what are you doing? If we talk about this, and I know many of you have experienced this with me because you come to talk to me, and I will give you verses in the Bible to go look at. Why? Because I don't have the answers. I have the answer. but what I want you to do is often as I'll tell you, hey, go read this and discover what the word of truth is that God is calling you to obey. There's a direction given in the word, and you can read it and still skip what you're supposed to do. Don't do that. All right? You will not resist the devil if you do not submit to God. All right? So I have to make a choice. So if you want to experience the power of God, I'm trying to think of ways to express this, but there's a difference between resisting versus withdrawing. Okay? And withdrawing can be looked in different ways. Withdrawing can be watching. You just sit on the sidelines and watch. Used to drive me crazy. I wanted to play football better, and a lot of guys that were on the third team with me did not give a rip. They wouldn't hardly even watch the game. They would goof off during the game. There was no attentiveness to what's the place that the coach has for me. There's a resisting, or you can just watch, all right? Or you can just avoid it altogether, you know? When the enemy comes, there's people who just turn the other way. He said, I want you to be resisting. What does that mean? Well, let's turn it around. If I'm not resisting, it means I stopped doing something God called me to do. Resisting is doing what he said. Taking up the armor and saying, this is what he called me to do. I am called to be this kind of an employee. I am called to be this kind of a believer. I am called to be this kind of a spouse. I'm called to be this kind of a parent. God calls me to be this kind of a grandparent. But you can get discouraged with the experience and do what? Withdraw. You can quit resisting. You can think it's never going to happen. There'll never be a breakthrough. I prayed with one of my brothers in our fellowship here for decades to see breakthrough in his family. Decades. Are you willing to resist until you win? Because God will bring a breakthrough. You may not even see it in this lifetime, but this is a spiritual battle that we're in. There's a battle. It's in the heart and in the mind, all right? And as we learn to understand that what God wants to do, you know, you have to watch over this heart, but you have to renew this mind. They must be brought together. And when you look at it, you say, this whole spiritual battle thing, James, I don't understand it. Well, it's happening right up here and right here. What do I mean? Well, listen. What I think and what I love directs how I live. Every time. What I think and what I love directs how I live. So isn't it interesting that God says, love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength? Because then I'll make the right choice. I don't have to have the don'ts if I do the do's. Okay. So you get in a car and you sit there. You have a car. Are you experiencing the strength of a car because you have it? No. You climb in it, you sit in it. Sitting in my wife's car, it's a little weird because there's no key. You have a fob. If you have a fob, if you're abiding within the presence of the car, you can push a button and it starts. Am I now experiencing the strength of the car? I've discovered it has strength. I'm not yet experiencing strength. I find many people who are saying, God, I want you to do this in my life. I'm a believer. I'm in the kingdom. Would you start the car, put it in gear, and drive? Obedience is putting it in gear, friends. There are steps that God is calling you to do in your relationships. And you say, but there, don't be looking at nobody else. You do what God's called you to do. What do you resist? You resist temptation. You resist deception. But if you depend upon the Lord's strength and armor, it will equip you to stand firm in the battle. But you have to start the car and drive the car. You have to do something that God has told you to do, and you will experience strength. Is there anyone here who would say, I don't want to be any more fit than I am? All of us would like to be a little stronger. We'd like to be a little more fit. Isn't that true? What you doing about it? Strength comes through exercise. You know that. Strength comes through exercise. So, are you working out? I know some of you got those abs. I can remember when I had abs like that. No, I never had abs like that. Okay, let's just be true. Never. You got to do weird, twisted things to your body to get abs like that. But you won't get strong if you don't exercise. If you don't do what God's told you to do, you can't experience God's strength. It's not because God's not strong. Because he's already given you his strength. He's put the life of Christ inside of you. But as you step into that, you will experience his strength. Even for the one who's never known Christ, he's given a very simple command. Do you remember the jailer? He was facing suicide. That's pretty dark. Some of you have been there. I've been there. Where you're thinking, this would be the easiest way out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the hope that God gives. That's how you start into this kingdom. And guess what? It doesn't change. It's not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and then get over here and try. It's the same message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and it will transform your thought life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and it. Do you see? It's the same message. Walk by faith, not by sight. This is what he calls us to do. This is how we win the battle. Do what he tells me to do with my money. To do what he tells me to do with my mouth. My men, we were talking about that. What was the hardest verse in Ephesians to obey? I said 4:29, without a doubt. No unwholesome word out of your mouth. I can grow stronger if I'll deal with those issues. So let God work his strength into you in this battle for your heart and your mind. Because God has provided all that you need to win the battle you're in. Everything you need is provided. We'll talk next week about the truth. What is the core truth? And here's one that I want to remind you of. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. You know what the next verse says? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You can be steadfast if you believe Christ has already won the victory and he's asking you to walk that out with him because Christ will never lose. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in the absolute brokenness of life, you still offer peace, you still offer hope, you still offer strength. When our dreams have been shattered, when our lives have been lived in defeat for so long and we don't think it could ever be any different, you still come and say, you can do all things if you'll let me strengthen you. That's who you are. You are our strength. You are our strong tower. You are our refuge. And we come to you this morning and say, Lord, reveal the deception that has caused me to live in defeat. Break through the lies with truth and bring hope. Bring hope. Not tomorrow, but today. Not by our circumstances, but by your promises. We look to that. Yes, we want to see our circumstances change, but you walk us after you that we might grow strong and give you glory, that we'd resist in the evil day. Thank you. Thank you for this great, great privilege to be soldiers in your army. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King and our Commander, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand up, soldiers. Let's sing a song back to Him.